Checkmate.
This is the Chestnut Checkers Podcast.
Checkmate.
Learn a new mindset to create wealth.
We need to be more independent thinkers, man.
Passive income.
Mathematics is precise.
A successful business.
Chess moves.
And money management strategies.
This is Chestnut Checkers.
We got a lot of things we got to discuss tonight. Now there's rumblings of a nuclear war in Russia, Ukraine area, maybe targeting some assets. Now, the good thing about it is that the rumors haven't affected Bitcoin or nothing else yet, right? But the bad news is that it could possibly affect the markets on Monday, right? So back to what I was saying is that I want to talk about a few things, right? Is that along with the rumblings of nuclear war, there's other rumblings that are happening in this society, right? One or two is that a lot of what scares me, and I'm going to go ahead and address it. Now, I know nobody's addressed this yet. But what scares me to death is all this talk about the soft life and quiet quitting and all this stuff. Now, we all know that the system finds ways to control the masses, right? They'll figure it out, and they'll be in the way even a lot of leaders of the past have talked about. They're so good at control that they can make you believe that you came up with the idea. They'll make you believe that you came up with the idea. They'll set a system of control, and you'll believe that you did it. Now, in my opinion, the quiet quitting, the soft life, all of this stuff that a lot of the Generation Z's are talking about is just another system of control, right? It's another system of control. It's a way that they can get you to give up early, just like the 401k system, retirement, because all this, they want you to do the best. To be honest, in a society, you got like, you know, got the people at the top. What a soft life means is that a lot of Generation X or Z's, they feel like that society's not for them. So they're going to give up the whole concept of the millennials, the working hard, hustle, working hard for what you want, better in your life. They want to just unsubscribe from that altogether and just live a bare minimum life around friends and family and just unsubscribe from the whole point of trying to live a better life or getting rich or whatever you want to call it. Now, that's a new trend now. Quiet quitting means the same thing except at the job. You're just going to quit. You're just going to do the bare minimum. Now, you got to think about this, right? When you do the bare minimum, you're actually helping. It's just another system of control. It's meant to keep you down. There's nothing better for a company or society than its members doing the bare minimum. What's bad for a company if you don't do your job at all or you leave? Then they got to spend money training somebody else who may do less than you. They want you to do the, stay in your seat, shut up, don't ever aspire to nothing else. This is nothing better for society than having you shut up, do your job, do the bare minimum and don't attempt to compete with the rich. That right there is what they want. You're falling right into the trap. Now, every generation has a different trap to get people to fall into it. And that's your trap. You're no different than the previous generation, generations before that. They want you to do what you're doing. You're going right down the line and doing you're doing right what they want you to. They want you to live this soft life. That's when they have the control. They can feed you when they want to. They can give you housing. They can keep you complacent like that. You've been had, you've been took, you've been bamboozled into living this soft life. It's nothing good or positive about that because that's what they want. And I'm telling you, younger people, that Generation Z, I believe, is people under 28 years old right now. Don't fall into that trap. You will regret it when you get older, you have kids or whatever like that. Because a lot of times the stuff you do today is not for yourself. It's for your future life. And I always tell people my mentorship program, especially people under 30. I say one of the exercises that we do is I say, I want you to imagine your future self right now. What's your life going to be like in 10, 15 years? What's that guy going to think? What is he going to be wearing? What kind of car is he going to be driving? What is he going to do after work? What is he going to do for entertainment? What is, when he has kids, what their name's going to be? How do you want your life to be? Now, keep this image in your head and every day wake up and say, future me, I'm doing these things for you. I'm getting up, I'm working, I'm planning for my retirement, which I don't believe is a safety net, not an investment. I'm saving my money, I'm building my skills for that future person, and the future person. That's what I'm working on, is I'm saving everything for that person in the future. Not for myself right now, right? And then another one of these Generation Zers, which I love them to death, but they're being tricked if I'm trying to help them, is that if you need a mentorship, DM me the word mentor and we'll see what we can do. Or text me, DM me the word mentor in my DMs. So back to what I was saying is that I know a lot of Generation Zers are giving up because one of them told me, it was like, look, man, my friend, you know, she got, you know, all this stuff, an inheritance, all this stuff the day she got out of college. And, you know, I feel like I'll never catch up with them. Well, there's two things you can do with that, right? Is that, you know, you get out of college a lot of times, you get start life. There's people that get great advantages. They either go to a great school, their parents give them a lot of money, or they just get lucky and get a great job, right? Don't let that drive you down. Let that be a chip on your shoulder. Let that get you angry. Let that get you mad. Let that be the fire under you that drives you to greatness. Now, every great basketball, football, whatever player had that kind of chip on their shoulder. Tom Brady, when he got picked like 10th in the draft, I forgot where he got picked, 10th round, almost at the last pick in the draft, he used that to push him to where he's at now. When Michael Jordan got cut in high school, he used that to get him pushing to where he's at today. You have to use these negativities and these bad things or setbacks that happen in your life to push you forward. Right? Now, saying that, I want to talk about this bear market that we're in. The bear market where we're in, some people don't know what a bear market is. That's when the market's down. We want to talk a little bit about that. The biggest opportunity in the down market is so many people miss, and that's buying income, buying dividend stocks. Now, for those of you who don't know what a dividend stock is, a dividend stock is, now that's basically two types of stocks, growth stock, dividend stocks. So a growth stock, what they do is that when they make profit, when they have money left over at the end of the year, they take that money and reinvest back into their core company, grow the company. And as the company's value goes up, so does the stock value. So that's the way that they deliver value to their stockholders. Stockholders are ownership share, have ownership in the company. They're part owners and a small percentage, but nevertheless, still owners. So that's how they deliver value to the owners, right? So another way they do it is through dividends. When a company is at a certain size, they feel like they don't want to grow that much anymore. Like Coca-Cola is so big, there's not much more it can do. But it can maintain, it can innovate, it can come up with new products, it can make profit. So they've decided to take that extra money and pay it out to their shareholders. So every so often, you get a check in the mail or money added to your account based on the profits of the company. Now, whenever the markets drop as much as it did right now, right, we have an opportunity to buy dividend stocks at a cheap price. And that's what I mean by that is, I'm going to give you some numbers. Let's say a stock like Walmart. I don't know where Walmart's at. I didn't look it up. I'm just giving you a note. Let's say Walmart is $100 pre-crash, and they're paying out a 5% dividend, right? So it's 5% of whatever you paid for the stock. So I paid $100 for the stock. It's five. The last dividend may have been 5%. So they say it's a quantity, you know, they say it's 5%, right? But let's say the market crashes overnight, 50%. Well, Walmart's profits didn't drop 50% overnight. So the next period, they're going to still deliver basically that same dividend. So if your price went down by half, and they still deliver the same dividend, you're making twice as much money. Let's say, for example, Walmart paid $5 per share at their last dividend payment, right? And that means the stock share is 100. They paid $5, which is 5%. Let's say overnight the stock price drops $50. Walmart's still going to pay that $5 next quarter. Let's say they've been paying out for 3 years. But now you only paid $50 to get into that. So now you've doubled your dividend. Your dividend's now $10 against $50 that you initially put in. Now you can buy two stocks and double the amount of money that you make per stock dividend. And this is the play that a lot of rich people do during downturns. Then when the stocks go back up, they're getting twice as much dividend as the suckers, the new people who jump in when it's too late. And this is one of the biggest strategies that Warren Buffett does. It's one of the biggest strategies that a lot of people do. It's a huge strategy for people. So back to what I was saying, is that that's a great strategy to make money. Now, people say, a lot of people say, what's a stock that we can do that on? What is a stock that does well? What is a stock that could make us money like that? What is one? You know, I like tech. I kind of, you know, I'm an expert on tech, so it's easier to pick stocks in tech, right? So there's one out there called Digital Realty, DLR is the symbol. It's a data real estate investment trust, right? And it's down 40% this year. Now, their core business is solid. Their core business is stable. But they've been caught up in the overall drop of the market. So because of that, their dividend more than likely will stay the same. They gave out 5% last period. They're probably going to give out double that this year because the stock price dropped. So it's a great opportunity to get in and get a higher dividend, 7, 8, 9% return on a stock that's still going up in value. It's a way to increase those profits, increase those gains, and magnify them. Well, not only the price going back to where they were before, but also you get that dividend that's doubled because the stock's almost down by 50%. And that's a great play in a down market if you find the right stocks. Now, some stocks are going to be affected by the market. You got to get one. You got to get stocks that shouldn't be affected. Their financials are still stable. But they've just been caught up in the overall, because every company, Amazon is one that probably shouldn't be caught up that much. It's every stock. There's no stock almost in the whole market that hasn't been caught up in this crash. Now, is 100% of the companies going bad? That's impossible. No, but it's an overall market crash. I want to talk about another stock. Then I want to talk about two cryptos. I want to talk about a stock and then I want to talk about two cryptos. I've talked about all three before, but I want to reiterate it because it's such a great opportunity, right? It's one of the biggest opportunities in the stock market, I think, or I wouldn't say the biggest, but I would say the risk versus reward-wise, one of the safest and one of the most profitable, right, is Amazon. Because there's two things I think about Amazon. Now, if you guys remember, about 3 years ago, I was the only one saying online that Amazon would split. People at the time said I was crazy, didn't know what I was talking about. And it was like 2 years ago, and I was telling you, look, Amazon will be forced by investor pressure to do a split. And I said it consistently up to the day they split. And that's the thing about it, is that a lot of these companies, a lot of these analysts, they don't see a lot of things. And a lot of analysts are way better than me. I'm not saying that. But I'm saying that sometimes you got to be able to see past the forest to see the trees, right? And this is what I'm talking about here, is that Amazon still has a very bright future. And actually, with the drop, it's going to be even brighter, right, from where we're at today. Now, it may keep falling, may not. I can't tell you that. Nobody knows with the macro events, the nuclear war, and all this stuff in the Ukraine. Nobody knows how deep the stock market's going. But I can promise you this, or tell you this. I'm not going to promise. Somebody told me to stop saying that. But I'm going to tell you this, is that it's highly likely to recover very strongly. And I don't know if it's going to be a year, 2 years, 3 years, but it's over a matter of time. You're going to be looking back on these prices wishing you bought some of this stuff, especially Amazon. Amazon's going to be $500, $600 before you know it. And it's going to be fast. And the reason behind that is Amazon's main brand is that e-commerce platform that they have. Right now, Amazon sells 40% of all e-commerce in the United States, which is a ridiculous number. 40% of everything, all the mail that comes from somebody buying some online has an Amazon logo on it. That's a lot of commerce. And a lot of people connect Amazon with that. But did you know that they have bigger sources of income? That's the Amazon's e-commerce platform is now just a way to get attention to their tech services. And most people don't even realize that. The AWS platform is strong, and like somebody says, strong and it's growing. That's what they're doing, and that's what they're going for. And that's where the majority of their profits are going to come. Now, let's look at business models, right? We look at the e-commerce model. So every time a person buys an item from Amazon, Amazon has to handle it, ship it, tax it, and monitor it until it gets to the endpoint, right? So as that company grows, what do they have to do? Buy more trucks, hire more people, scale up. So the scale up or whatever is not, there's no extra profits with scaling up. You know, you get more profits per unit or more profits per truck or whatever you want to call it, but it's not an exponential growth. With tech, there is an exponential growth. And that's the beauty of tech. That's why if you look at the Forbes 500, the top 10, 15, out of the top 20, 15 of them came from tech, because tech is the only industry, or one of the few industries, where we can scale exponentially. And what I mean by that is that right now, I can develop an app, right? If one person used the app, I can make money from one person. If 100 people use the money from the app, I can still manage the app. If 1,000 people, one me can still manage the app. If 10,000 people, I can still manage the app by myself. So the cost of doing business doesn't go up, but the profit does. That's the reason why tech is such a big profit maker. It's because if I'm selling these shirts, for example, and I'm making them in my house, every time somebody orders a shirt, I got to make one, ship it, and deliver it. So if I make as I sell more shirts, I got to hire more people. I got to have a bigger space. I got to have more trucks. I got to have more machines. I got to have more. You see what I'm saying? So it doesn't scale exponentially like profits in tech do. So this is the reason why if Amazon moves into this tech industry and they start to dominate, which they're already starting to do, it's going to explode their profit margin over the next 5 years. And that's what we're looking at with Amazon. And like I said, it may not be tomorrow, may not be next year, may not be 2 years, but with enough time, you're going to be, and I say I'm buying it all the time, you're going to be surprised at the growth of where Amazon is going to go over the next few years. So I want to talk a little bit about two cryptos. And one is XRP. Now, I know I talk about this a lot, but I want to make sure I beat it into some people's heads because of the opportunity there. So move on. So over the last 30 days, XRP is up 60%. Now, what does that tell me in a down market? Now, the thing about that is that that tells me that somebody somewhere knows something. Right? So, and like I said, anytime you see some weird movement in a stock, crypto, or something like that, it's because the insiders know. The insiders already know. And they're already buying it. And I'm telling you, that's what's happening right now with XRP. XRP's true value is at least $8 right now. Right now, I said like, 50 cents? So we're talking about a 16 times gain if it just gets back to where it's supposed to be now. XRP is a crypto for the new people. It's decoupling from Bitcoin. I sell that, Chevy. You're right about that. It's 100% decoupling from Bitcoin. Because what's happening is that it's recovering slowly back to where it should be. Because the insiders already know what's going to happen. They already know that the lawsuit is going to be resolved. Because that's what happens. And that's what's sad about our system, but it's just a variable like everything else. Is that the insiders often will know what's happening with certain stocks, cryptos, and they start buying it under the table. But they can't, when they buy it, they can't, the price is going to go up. So you see some weird movements in the prices. You're like, why is XRP going up decoupled from Bitcoin when every other coin is coupled with Bitcoin? It's simple. It's because the insiders know what's coming. They're buying it, trying to buy it slowly, incognito, but they can't stop the price from going up because their buys are huge. And that's what's happening right now. And that's the reason why XRP is up 60% in a down market when every other coin is down. Now, why would that, does that even make sense? It's because they know. And as soon as this lawsuit is resolved, you're going to see a exponential growth to XRP up to $7, $8 per coin. And then a lot of people are going to be kicking themselves in the butt because they're going to be like, man, I should have listened to that dude that was wearing those crazy shirts on Instagram. So last thing I'll talk about is that, so Ethereum is another one that I believe is going to eventually replace Bitcoin as number one. And I think, I don't know when, I can't tell you, maybe 5 years, maybe 10 years, maybe 2 years. I don't know. But I think Bitcoin is always going to be around, always going to be a strong crypto. But I just believe that one day Ethereum will be number one. Now, I believe you can buy XRP on PancakeSwap. I believe you can. And so that's another one. I believe in it because, you know, Ethereum was the first blockchain ever to execute to enable decentralized applications, smart contracts. And with these new improvements they have over the next 2 years, it's going to put Ethereum way ahead of every other cryptocurrency out there. And I'm not talking about in technology-wise. There's a lot of cryptos that are far advanced technology-wise, but they don't have the usage or the user base that Ethereum has. So alone, if you count user base and technology-wise, Ethereum's going to be way ahead of everybody else. And I think that's going to happen over the next 2 to 3 years. Right? And now with the proof of stake and they're moving to handle more transactions, lowering those fees, it's going to be very difficult for any crypto to rival Ethereum. The fork went. Now, I want to say something else about the, you know, my past life. For 15 years, I was a software engineer. I still consider myself at heart a software engineer, right? I stopped about 3 years ago, but I still do a little bit just for fun. Still talk about it at conferences, but I still try to encourage others to get into that path. But you know how hard it was to do that fork or the merge? Development-wise, it's like going down a road in a car. Mechanics jump out of the car and change the engine while the car is still going. That's how hard it was to do that merge. That's how hard it was. Like in a car engineering-wise, it's the exact same as us driving down the road. I say, yeah, time to go, y'all. Three mechanics jump out of the car, climb on the outside of it, take the hood off, change the engine out while we're going down the road and get back in the car. Technologically wise, that's how hard it was to do that merge. That's how hard it was. And they did it without a glitch. Now, that's hard. They didn't even shut down the blockchain. It's very difficult to do that. Now, that gave me a lot of respect and a lot of, you know, insight into how good that team is. That changed a lot of my perspectives on how good Ethereum, the founder along with the team, is. It's hard to do because the blockchain is always continuing forward, right? Every few minutes, they add records to the blockchain. Now, you have to change the system while without disrupting the system at all. It's the equivalent, like I said, of driving down the road and changing the engine without stopping the car. It's the exact same as that.
Thank you for joining today's podcast. I really appreciate your support. If you want more wealth building information, education, and tips in stock market, crypto, and other assets such as real estate, follow me on Instagram and also on YouTube. It's the same name, Tall Guy Tycoon. That's TallGuyTycoon. The link is also in the description. Also, you can support this podcast by donations. That link is also in the description. I hope each and every one of you has a great week. And again, thanks for listening.